Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
So Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28, I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he, Jesus, answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Jesus here quoted from the Hebrew Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Shema is the Hebrew word for hear, listen, pay attention. Would you stand with me and we're going to recite the Shema together. As observant Jews, back then and even today, recite these verses twice a day. Once in the morning, once at night. Why is this so important? Because we hear and listen to all different kinds of competing voices. But by reciting this twice a day, we give our attention to that which matters the most. And that which matters the most is this. Recite the Shema with me. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." Lord, help us to take these words to heart, literally to heart. Everything we do, everything about who we are, is to be wrapped up in loving you with everything that we've got. Easier said than done, yes. Impossible, no. Because your Spirit helps us and guides us and empowers us to live this out. And it is our heart, it is our desire to live this out all the days of our lives. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I hear your heart beating. You've got a good, solid heart. It's a good sign. We sometimes take our heart for granted, don't we? Let me give you some interesting facts about the heart, the physical heart. Do you know that your heart beats over 100,000 times a day, pumping approximately 2,000 gallons of blood throughout your body? This relentless pumping ensures that oxygen and nutrients are delivered to every cell and waste products are removed. Pretty cool, huh? Did you know that a woman's heart beats faster than a man's? Probably because we men cause a lot of stress upon you ladies. But another interesting fact about the heart is the difference in heart rate between genders. On average, a woman's heart beats faster than a man's by about 8 beats per minute. This difference is due to the smaller size of a woman's heart, which requires it to beat faster to pump the same amount of blood. We always have known that you women work harder than us guys. The heart pumps blood to nearly every cell in your body. The heart is a powerful pump. One of the most vital facts about the heart is its ability to deliver blood to nearly every cell in your body. The only parts of the body that do not receive blood directly from the heart are the corneas in your eyes. As I mentioned earlier, the heart has a strong electrical system. The heart's rhythm is controlled by an intricate electrical system. The SA node, located in the right atrium, acts as a natural pacemaker of your heart. This node generates electrical impulses that cause the heart to contract, regulating the heart rate and ensuring efficient blood flow. Did you know that heart cells stop dividing early in life? One of the surprising facts about the heart is that the majority of heart cells stop dividing at a very young age, usually within the first few days of life. This means that heart cells must last a lifetime, making heart health particularly critical. Do you know that your heart's size can change? The size of the heart can change over time, especially in response to exercise or disease. Regular aerobic exercise can increase the size of the heart, improving its efficiency. Conversely, certain heart diseases can cause the heart to enlarge in an attempt to compensate for damage or inefficiency. Did you know your heart is located slightly left off center? Most people know that the heart is located in the chest, but one of the anatomical facts about the heart is its position, which is slightly to the left of center. This awkward tilt is why the left lung is slightly smaller than the right lung to make room for your heart. Your heart generates enough pressure to squirt blood. The heart is an incredibly powerful organ. And one of the most impressive facts about the heart is its ability to generate enough pressure to squirt blood up to 30 feet. This high pressure is essential for maintaining a steady flow of blood throughout the body's extensive network of blood vessels. The heart has its own blood supply. While the heart pumps blood to the rest of the body, it also requires its own supply of oxygenated blood. The coronary arteries fulfill this need, branching off from the aorta to deliver oxygen and nutrients directly to the heart muscle. Did you know that the heart can produce hormones? Your heart is not just a pump. A lesser known fact is the heart's ability to produce hormones, which help regulate blood pressure and fluid balance. The heart is one of the first organs to develop and function in the fetus. By about 3 weeks after conception, the heart begins to beat, pumping blood and supporting the developing embryo. This early start is critical for the growth and development of other organs. Pretty cool facts about the heart, and there are others. You can look them up online. But for such an important organ, we tend to take that for granted sometimes, don't we? The heart is so important that there have been many, many songs written about the heart, right? Let me just give you a couple. My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. You know that song, right? Heart of Glass by Blondie. Heart of Gold by Neil Young. Heartbreaker by Pat Benatar. Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Taylor. Heart Full of Soul by the Yardbirds. Heart of Stone by the Rolling Stones. Two Hearts by Bruce Springsteen. Listen to Her Heart by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Closer to the Heart by Rush. Burning Heart by Survivor. Harden My Heart by Quarterflash. The Heart of Rock and Roll by Huey Lewis and the News. Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes. And probably the most famous, and you're probably wondering how come I didn't mention this. Well, let me just play it for you. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he might blow up and kill his man. Just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart,
My angry, brand new heart. He might blow up and kill this man.
You want me to keep playing that song, don't you?
Yes, you do.
And now this song is stuck in your mind all day, right?
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I know. You can forgive me later for that. Now, let me give you some sobering statistics. According to the American Heart Association, approximately 121.5 million adults in the United States, which is about half, have some form of cardiovascular disease. This includes coronary heart disease, stroke, heart failure, and other conditions. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, accounting for about 1 in 5 deaths. In 2021, there were an estimated nearly 700,000 deaths from heart disease. Coronary disease is expected to increase in the future, with estimates suggesting that by 2050, up to 60% of adults in the U.S. may have some form of heart disease. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for men, women, and people of most racial and ethnic groups. One person dies every 34 seconds from cardiovascular disease. In 2023, nearly 920,000 people died from cardiovascular disease. That's the equivalent of about 1 in every 3 deaths. In 2023, about 1 out of every 6 deaths from cardiovascular diseases was among adults younger than 65 years of age. In the United States, someone has a heart attack every 40 seconds. Every year, about 805,000 people in the United States have a heart attack. Of these, 605 are a first heart attack, and the remaining 200,000 happen to be people who have already had a heart attack. About 1 in 5 heart attacks are silent. The damage is done, but the person is not aware of it. We all need to be aware of heart disease and our hearts. I think it's cool that Joey is here today. You may not know that he is a heart transplant recipient. Amen. It's been how many years for you? How many years? 5 years.
Four and a half.
And we thank God, and I know every day you thank God for the person who donated their heart. And you are looking fantastic, and you're doing fantastic. And then, of course, I'm thinking of Gary. And if you knew Gary, you knew that he was a fantastic man, a wonderful man. And he lived for 18 years with a heart transplant. And we thank God for that. So we do need to be aware of heart disease. But we also need to be aware of heart dis-ease. Dis-ease. Martin Luther, the great reformer and theologian, explained sin like this. He said, sin is the heart curved in upon itself. That's how he described sin. What did he mean by that? Well, you remember earlier when I talked about how the heart, one of the functions of our physical heart is to pump blood and nutrients away from the heart to the rest of the body, right? If our heart didn't do that and it just pumped blood back into the heart, that would not be good. So sin is the heart, the spiritual heart, curved in upon itself. And that leads to the epitome of selfishness, which is what sin is. I don't care if you have the cutest grandkids in the world, as I do.
I agree.
Yes. But anyone who spent any time with any little kids knows that this selfishness is innate. And we are constantly telling our kids, our grandkids, don't hit, don't be selfish, don't be rude, don't steal, Watch your words, right? That's what we do with all little kids. This selfishness is innate. We are born as sinners. What parents and grandparents do when we say these things to our kids and grandkids is behavior modification. We're trying to teach them how to behave themselves. As adults, unless God takes care of our hearts, we're still dealing with behavior modification as well. We're still telling adults in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, don't hit, don't be selfish, don't be rude, don't steal, and watch your words. Behavior modification is good if we can get there, but behavior modification is useless without a heart transformation. Jesus here taught that we are to love the Lord our God. He gave very specific qualifications with how we are to love the Lord, and the first qualification was with our heart. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. In the Bible, the heart is the core of a person's being, encompassing your intentions, desires, passions, emotions, and the will. Biblically, the heart stands for the entirety of a person's inner moral and mental life, not just feelings, but decision-making and affections. The heart is who you are. In Jewish anthropology, the heart is the moral seat. It's who you are. And Jesus says we are to love the Lord our God with everything that we are. It's who we are. The heart defines us. But because of sin, this is what the Bible teaches. And you would be surprised at just how much the Bible has to say about the condition of the human heart. This is before psychology and behavioral cognitive therapy and all that sort of thing. The Bible understands the human heart and the person far better than we give the Bible credit for. And so the Bible helps us understand the condition of our heart. What keeps us from loving God with all of our heart? Because of sin, the Bible teaches in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's the heart curved in upon itself. The spiritual condition of who we are is pretty deceitful and desperately sick, and not even we can figure out what's going on inside of us unless the Bible helps us understand. In Mark 7:21, Jesus gives this teaching about the heart. He says, "For from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery." And in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Apostle Paul gives this teaching. He says, "For although they knew God," or they knew about God, "they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." That's the heart curved in upon itself. This is the state of our human condition because we are born into sin. Can behavior modification help with some of that? Of course. But it doesn't transform our heart to be able to help us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And so, in this condition, the way our heart is, it is impossible to love God in this condition. And so the Bible begins to give us remedies to how to have the right heart. And instead of a heart pill, the Bible says we need a heart fill. We read in Romans 5, verse 5, that God wants to pour His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. In Acts 15, verses 8 and 9, we read this: God, who knows the heart, showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for He purified or cleansed their hearts by faith. You see, in order to get to that point where we begin to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, we need His infilling, His indwelling of love. And in a verse that I read earlier to begin our service from Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, we read this incredible promise: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, deep within you, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. This is God's remedy for our darkened, sinful, broken heart. If we do these things, God promises in Ezekiel 36:26 that I will give you a new heart. A new heart. Not just behavior modification, but a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ah, when that happens, then we can begin to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. The other promise is that when we're given this new heart, when His love and His Spirit cleanses us and fills us with His love, we have a pure heart. And Jesus teaches there in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:8 that blessed are the pure in heart, because for the first time you'll be able to begin to see God and experience God and know God and live in the love of God. If we begin to do all these things and we pay attention to our heart and we ask God to give us a new heart and we cry out with desperation, God, fill me with your divine holy love. Give me a new heart. I want to love you with all my heart, but I haven't been able to in the past. But now I want to. Lord, help me do your work in me. And once God does His incredible work in you, and He will, you just ask Him. You have to come to that point where you say, God, something has been wrong with my heart. Give me that new heart that's promised in Scripture. Once He does that, we will be able to begin to seek the Lord with all our heart, as the psalmist says there in Psalm 119. He says, I seek you with all my heart, and I don't want to stray from your commands, for I have hidden your word, your truth, in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And then another wonderful thing that is promised to us that Doug read earlier during our worship service is that we will, for the first time in our lives, begin to experience peace. When God dwells within your heart and gives you that new heart, removes that heart of stone and gives you that heart of flesh and fills you with His love, you will experience for the first time His divine peace. And the peace that comes from Christ will rule in your hearts. That's from Colossians 3:15. And another beautiful thing that happens there, we read about in Hebrews 10:22, that we can go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. The Bible knows our heart condition far better than we know our heart condition. And the Bible lays it out clearly what God wants to do for us so that we can run this race of faith effectively and powerfully and victoriously by loving the Lord our God with all our heart. So this needs to be our prayer. This needs to be our prayer. This is the great prayer of David, Psalm 51. David had messed up in his life. He knew God. He tried to serve God. But his life up to this point had been behavior modification. He tried doing the right things, but in the end he failed. And he ended up realizing that he needed a new heart. He needed God to do an incredible work in his heart so that he could truly begin to love the Lord his God with all his heart. And part of his prayer there in Psalm 51 was, Lord, create in me a clean heart or a pure heart. He had come to that realization that he needed God to do only that which God could do in his life. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How are we going to get to that place where we can begin to truly love God with all of our heart? It's only when God does his work inside of us. All the behavior modification therapy in the world won't work. It's helpful, but it won't work. All the cognitive behavioral therapy, all the psychological disciplines, we thank God for them. They help. But only God can give us a brand new heart. Only God can fill our empty, sinful, broken hearts with his divine love. Only God can create within us a clean heart. And when he does that, then we can truly begin to love him in return with all our heart. Sing with me this prayer that we often sing in church. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Father, that is our prayer. We all suffer with dis-ease, heart dis-ease, and only you can come and restore our heart. Come and create in us pure hearts, clean hearts.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.